In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your sins are forgiven. Jesus speaks, and it is. Reality conforms to his word. But the devil says, how do you know? How can you tell? You can't see it. So doubt creeps in. And that's what the devil desires most. He weasels his way in and starts spewing his lies. After all, that worked so well on your first parents. Satan speaks through these scribes, condemning these good and gracious words as disgusting blasphemy. It's not Jesus' power or authority to heal. That much seems pretty much irrefutable. But who other than God has authority to forgive sins? Yet that's exactly Jesus' point. He forgives the man's sins, and the physical manifestation of his sin is gone. His body's healed because his sins are forgiven. He rises, walks, and goes home. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins by virtue of both his divinity and by virtue of his humanity. For God and man are one Christ, and to him is given all authority in heaven and on earth. This man, Jesus Christ, forgives sins, for it's his right. The word of this flesh and blood man creates reality. He speaks, and it is. And it's by his flesh that he comes in mercy for all those in affliction and suffering, that he comes for you. Remember, O Jacob, this is the God who formed you, who wipes out your transgressions and redeems you. God descends in flesh to show forth his glory upon the cross for your sake. Shout for joy, for this God come in your flesh takes into himself your weaknesses, infirmities, sicknesses, and sins. He takes your anxieties, your concerns, and your worries. He comes in your flesh to pay your penalty. He pours out his cleansing blood upon you to slake your thirst, to offer up his body as the sacrifice, to fill you with his divine abundance. His death breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. Jesus takes upon himself your sin and dies, that he may raise you up to new and everlasting life in himself. He descends to raise you up to where he is for eternity. Even the holy angels now descend to you in Christ's incarnation to fight for you and protect you from the demons, to bear you home to him on the last day. This happens for you no differently than for the paralytic. Apart from Jesus, you're paralyzed by sin and death. Nothing you do, nothing you try can save yourself. You can't move. You can't ascend into heaven, no matter how hard you try or good you think you are. You lie in brokenness, death, and condemnation. But somebody, whether a parent or grandparent, an aunt or uncle, a sibling, child, or friend, somebody brought you here. Like the friends of this paralytic. Somebody brought you here in faith to Jesus that he would forgive your sins and claim you as his own. And Jesus has compassion. He heals and restores, granting to you everlasting life. The Lord Jesus has redeemed you, showing forth his glory. And he is here to call you to himself in the proclamation of his death and resurrection. He washes you clean in the water and blood flowing from his pierced side, recreating you in his likeness in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit upon you and names you with his own name. You are renewed in body, mind, and spirit. Sins forgiven. You rise up and go home, living as befitting a Christian. But that's not the end. Jesus remains present in his flesh, even now, to absolve your sins and to heal your body. He speaks with authority, and his word does what it says. He declares bread and wine to be his very own body and blood given for the forgiveness of your sins. It is, and it does. You're healed, for the Holy Sacrament is the healing medicine Jesus gives by which he raises you up on the last day. It's the remedy to your paralysis of sin and death. By his flesh and blood, Jesus gives you strength and vigor. By his flesh and blood, Jesus supplies and nourishes you for your journey home. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. But understand that the healing Jesus brings to you now, yes, it is now, it is healing now for your body now. But perhaps you say, then why am I still afflicted? Why do I still struggle with this weakness? Why do I still struggle with this infirmity? Why do I still struggle with this disease? Because the healing that the Lord promises and guarantees, the healing which will not and cannot and is not taken from you, is the healing he brings on the last day when he will indeed raise you up. Then and there your body will be glorified and perfected. Gone will be all and every trace of sin, sickness, disease, weakness. And your body will be glorified like unto Jesus' own glorified and risen body. But perhaps in this life you have to wait. Perhaps in this life you must bear your cross, painful though it may be. And yet the Lord remains with you, for your sins are forgiven. For even as you struggle with infirmities of the body, Jesus has still claimed you as his own in holy baptism. He still feeds you with his body and blood in the Holy Communion. Your sins are indeed forgiven, and your body is healed. If not in this life, then indeed for the life to come. Does it come as any surprise then that the devil tries to attack with all his might these greatest mysteries of the Christian faith? How can water wash away sin and give the Holy Spirit? How can bread and wine be Jesus' body and blood? Yet the word of Jesus remains. It creates and shapes reality. His word is authoritative. The devil can question it all he wants, trying to lead you astray, as he did Adam and Eve. But you don't have to rely on your reason and senses to find the efficacy of the sacraments. Indeed, don't rely on your own reason or strength. The efficacy of the holy sacraments, the fact that baptism washes away sins and gives the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Communion is the body and blood of Jesus, this efficacy, this guarantee is found only in the word and authority of Jesus. Try as he might, the devil cannot change the clear and certain word of God. And that is what you cling to. For the word of God is the very voice of Jesus himself speaking with authority to you here and now. He says, be baptized for the remission of sins, for baptism now saves you. And it's so. He sends pastors saying, whoever hears you, hears me. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And it's so. He says of bread and wine, this is my body, this is my blood given for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, as I abide in him and he in me. And it's so. The sacraments avail for your salvation. Your sins are forgiven and your body and soul healed because Jesus says so. God has indeed given such authority to men. Those whom he has called, ordained, and sent are sent under his authority to do as he himself commands, namely to forgive sins. It's for your sake that Jesus does this, that you may hear his word and receive his sacraments. He sends his pastors to apply and deliver the holy cross to you. Your forgiveness comes only by the death of Jesus, comes by virtue of his holy wounds. Thus, the voice you hear in absolution is Jesus' voice, speaking to you as he spoke to the paralytic, and as he spoke from upon the cross. Consider again what Jesus says here in this gospel to this paralytic. First, he says, have courage. Courage to live in this world. Courage to bear your cross. Comes from his presence for you in your flesh. It comes from the fact that he is both your sacrifice and your substitute. Therefore, he then says, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. This is faith and works. Finally, he gives this command, go home. This is the totality of Christian doctrine and life. Have courage. Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Go home. Without the Spirit, you're paralyzed. With the Spirit, given through the word of Jesus in holy baptism and in his body and blood, you're made the child of the Father and are forgiven, enabled to walk in the paths of righteousness, and are brought finally home. And by home, he doesn't necessarily mean the place where you live, where you lay down at night, where you eat your meals. He means your heavenly home, to the place where you will dwell with him and with the Father and the Holy Spirit in your own flesh and body for eternity. And it is in this place where Jesus washes you clean, feeds you with his body and blood, forgiving your sins, where he speaks you whole. Here is the place where he calls you to be, that you may eat, drink, and be prepared for your own resurrection. For when he comes in that same flesh on the last day, Jesus will speak to you again, saying, rise and come home. In that moment, you will rise to life, for your sins are forgiven. You will enter the gate of heaven and be received into his eternal home. For Jesus, by his authority, declares it to be so. Take heart and be of good cheer. Have courage. Your sins are forgiven. Rise and go home in peace, justified, and full of peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.